Jim Playfair now up here in the broadcast booth. And Jimmy, welcome back. Nice way to get back here and a big win to kick off 2024. Just your thoughts from what you saw behind the bench after climbing quite a couple flights of stairs to get up here.
Thanks, Waldy. I appreciate it. You know, I think we got off to a good start. Got a 2-0 lead, and then I think we felt like it was going to be probably easier than it turned out to be. So, you know, it's a good lesson for our group to continue to learn at this time of year. Sometimes you got to play without the score in your, as your focal point. You got to do things right. You have to make winning plays, winning habits, and build an identity to play the right way all the time. And I think after they made it 2-1, we started to push back a little bit, and then we kind of regrouped between periods, and we found a way to get the win. But it wasn't easy by any manner, but I think we did what we had to do to find the 2 points.
From an offensive standpoint, your guys continue to deliver. I guess we'll start with Riley Height, the tear he's on right now. He's the player of the month, getting all these accolades, and man, he's seems like a man on a mission right now, and another big night for number 27.
Yeah, I think the bigger pitch with Riley is the fact that he's got a really good job of recognizing how to be a good player 200 feet on the rink, both sides of special teams. He can move his line mates around. He's still a good player. It's actually really impressive to see how he's developed his professional attitude, over the course of the season. Of course, I wasn't around him every day last year, but I was around him enough to recognize that he had the potential to be a real good player. And I think that you have to recognize that, he's slowly becoming a really important player in the Western Hockey League. I think he was one of the top players in the Western Hockey League, and I think he's doing what he's supposed to do where he's at. And I think he's playing real good hockey each day. He drives our practices. He sets the pace for our practices. He's got a great attitude. When you talk to him about details on special teams or 5-on-5, he knows what you're talking about. He's serious. He's going to have a long-time career in the NHL, and he's going to be able to do it. Not one dimension. He's going to be able to be a penalty killer in the NHL. He'll be a power play guy in the NHL. And I think he's going to win a lot of hockey games in the National Hockey League when he earns the right to get there.
Yeah, for sure. Zach Funk, too, right? I thought maybe in the first period, fighting it a little bit, Mark actually switches the lines a little bit, puts him with Carlin DeZane and Vallis. I guess it resulted in him having yet another hat trick in this building, and now at 40 goals. And we're saying it's January 3rd, and he's already scored 40. Pretty impressive stuff.
Yeah, I think, again, with Funker, he's had an attitude, or kind of a reputation rather, that he's a streaky player, that he can play one side of the puck, and that he has this mindset where he can be unpredictable at times. And I think when you flip it over, he went home this Christmas, and he did a really good job of coming back and taking care of himself, and now he's carried into the second half. I was talking to Wenatchee's coach before the game, and we've been friends for a long time, and he's connected very well into San Jose, and he just said, hey, I got to get San Jose on this guy, and they're going to start the process of trying to get him on the radar. And I think every time Funker plays another game, there's always something you can find in his game that you can look at and appreciate. So I think as we keep identifying NHL teams that are looking for real solid hockey players, he's going to get more interest, and he's going to find himself in a situation where he can pick and choose where he wants to go. So I think the disappointment of not maybe being drafted in a high round in the earlier draft is going to turn out to be a very good thing for Zach, because when you talk about it, and he's a hockey player. I mean, he's a competitive guy. He's a mean player. He's a competitive player. He's a strong player. He's a good shooter. He sees the ice very well. And I think he's, again, his future is very bright.
Yeah, checks off a lot of boxes, no question. This roster has changed a little bit, right, since the last time you've been here. And one of those acquisitions is Chase Pauls. And obviously you run the D, probably the first time you've got to see him here in person. Maybe just your thoughts on what you see in a big, tall, stay-at-home defenseman.
Yeah, I think when you get the big, solid, right-shot defenseman that can shut down opposition, he can move the puck out of the middle of the ice, or into the middle of the ice, out of our zone, extremely well. He's a good competitor. He can put him on the penalty kill. He shuts down top lines. I think that you know, during the game, I was contemplating putting Carson Carroll's with him for a little while just to see what the future might look like. But, you know, he does a good job. And I think that eventually, I think as we get Ville back and we get ourselves organized, I kind of have a vision of Dumansky and him playing together and being the shutdown line. And then you let everybody else find their positionings off of that. And I think our team, the way it's set up with the firepower we have up front, that our job as defensemen is to do a really good job, to do our jobs. And that's to defend, keep pucks out of our net, move them up to the forwards, and then support the rush. And so I think, you know, the more impressive thing probably is the price Mark paid for him. I think some of the prices that players are moving around now in the Western League, the first and second rounders, are you know, that's a heavy price for a lot of players. And I think he's an excellent addition to our club for what we need for a real good price.
This for you, this has been quite the trip, hey? I mean, you know, you've been on the road for a month. You've been in the sky a little bit over Switzerland in the Spengler Cup. But maybe just your thoughts on the Spengler Cup. What an experience that must have been to head over there and coach with Bruce Boudreau, ultimately falling in heartbreak fashion. But maybe just your thoughts on how that whole experience was.
Yeah, I think it's an honor, something I've never experienced before. And when Bruce reached out to me, and then Joe Thornton reached out to me, and Brad Pascal, you know, Kurt Keats, when they all kind of put their plan together and I saw where perhaps I could, you know, fit in there, it was an exciting opportunity. And then, you know, our youngest boy, Austin, and along with my wife, Roxanne, were able to go spend Christmas in Switzerland. So, you know, it turned out to be something that I think going forward in the future, hopefully I can earn the right to do something again with Team Canada. It's kind of neat when you stand behind the bench for the very first time and you're standing representing your country. You do sense a level of pride. And obviously we won the first one, lost the second one. We won the third, and we fell short in the fourth one. But again, you're seeing kids that are giving up their Christmas break, their New Year's break, that are playing over there and or coming out of the American League. You appreciate what people are willing to commit to play for their country, and it was neat to see how many kids were over there, how many grandparents and parents and watching their kids. So I really looked at it like, you know, here's these boys that have grown up playing hockey their whole lives, and they're able to bring their parents and grandparents and girlfriends and wives and children to Switzerland to represent their country and play. So it's a bigger, you know, Dr. Thorne, he's been a team doctor for the Calgary Flames. He's been doing this for 20 years with Spengler Cup. He sat my wife and my son down on the very first day and said, you have to learn to separate the hockey from the experience. And I thought that was great advice, you know, as you look back on it. But yeah, I was very fortunate to have the Cougars management and Mark allow me to take that opportunity. And yeah, by the time I get home, it'll be 30 days on the road. But it's crazy. You know, as long as we get these next three wins on the road, it'll all be worth it.
The city, too, right? Like, it seems so unique. Just from the outside looking in and the crowds there. Like, I read a stat that every game was sold out. And, man, that had been quite the experience to go over there and see, I guess, what Davos is all about.
Yeah, Joe Thornton's wife, actually, Tabia, is from Davos. So she was telling us some little bit of insight. And I think there's roughly 5,000 or 6,000 people that live in the city, and there's 60,000 people that show up for this tournament. And so, you know, it's a whole festive event, and the Team Canada does a really good job of keeping everybody busy. There was, you know, lots of activities for the family, and then they had these party tents and outdoor rinks, and it's something that, you know, you understand how fortunate and, you know, blessed you are to be able to experience that. And so, you know, I think the Davos hockey team that ended up winning it at the very end was probably, you know, finished up maybe the right way for that organization, for the community there. But I mean, to have 60,000 people come into a small town like that for a period of 8 days is neat to be a part of and neat to see.
So cool. We could be here all day and talk about this, but Jimmy, appreciate the time as always. Welcome back, and hopefully we cap off your 30-day road trip with a couple more wins before we head back. Appreciate the time as always.
Awesome. Thanks, Waldy.
Jim Play.